Luke chapter 2, if you would. We're going to move around just a little bit tonight. These topicals I'm not used to. I'm just used to going chapter by chapter, so this is a little strange, but it's these sweet and harsh times that we go through, and we all have those times that we're happy, that we get excited, that we see the joy of the Lord, and that we also go through hard times where we learn how to depend on our God that's called us. So chapter 2, verse 1, let's just read it through for a second here. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn." And of course, this is the same group of scriptures that we went through this morning, but just tonight probably the sweet and harsh times for Mary, because it always seems like when the sweet times come, the presence of the Lord, the ministry of the Lord to our spirits, that there's harsh times that come along with it, just so that we can know God's strength in it. And here's Mary, she's come, the angel has met with her. Gabriel was sent to give her a message. You're going to be pregnant of the Holy Spirit, which is a whole mind-blowing thing. Really, exactly how do you do this? I'd have to know details. But she seemed to be okay with the message and just all right. But the sweet times that you're going to be pregnant with the Messiah, can you imagine that message coming to you? Of just the announcement that you're going to be pregnant, but you're going to bring forth the Messiah who's going to save the world. Oh, the sweetness of that. But then the harshness, traveling 95 miles by donkey, 9 months pregnant. Again, that is just something that's just overwhelming to me. We were going through some pictures because our grandson died last Sunday. And we were going through pictures over the weekend, and we found a picture of Kath sitting on a camel because we're looking for pictures of Matthew to give out and to just share. And we were talking about it tonight on the way here. How would you like to ride a camel 9 months pregnant? And she goes, "Either the hump or my belly has to go." Something has to move here. But I just can't imagine going that far, that long, that many days in the weather, out in the open, being 9 months pregnant, the harshness that was there, just remembering what she was carrying, but the harshness of what the world would bring, the harshness just to destroy us, to just weaken us in our faith and our trust, and then to have no room, no bedroom, no doctors, no hospitals, in fact, just a room with a trough for the baby. The harshness of the world, but the sweetness of the presence of the Lord. And the Lord seems to do that with you and I. The harsh things, the sweet things. The harsh things that come along from this world. But we have to remember that this is not our home. That this isn't where we're going to abide forever. This isn't the place that we're always going to be. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord forevermore. And just the sweetness of that well overcomes the harshness that the world would bring just to diminish our faith, just to lessen our faith, just to bring us down and to depress us. And certainly this world is depressing, but with God in it, there's always encouragement and just always his presence. If you would, you can leave your spot here because we'll come back, but go back to Matthew chapter 1, the other account. And we just see so many nice things and so many good things that are going on. In Matthew chapter 1, It says this, starting in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall give his people, or for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Oh, thank you, Lord. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." But again, the sweetness and the harshness, the sweetness of God's presence was that the Lord had ministered to her through Gabriel again, and she comes, and she has to come back and tell Joseph what has gone on. Not only to tell Joseph, but also her parents. I mean, it was obvious, but she had to tell them. And of course, they didn't believe her. The sweetness of the presence of the Lord, but the harshness of the reality of this world is that nobody would believe her. The people in the town against her, she's pregnant and not married. They despised, they rejected her. Kind of something like we read in Isaiah this morning, wasn't it? That Jesus was despised and rejected of men, just as his mother. She enters into sorrows just as Jesus entered into sorrows. And yet, with the strength of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, she's able to walk through those harsh times that the world was going to bring her. And for us, it's such a wonderful example and a wonderful promise that God is going to be with us always, that he's not going to leave us or forsake us, that he's not going to abandon us, he's not going to leave us as orphans. He's going to send his Holy Spirit to minister to us, to lead us into all truth, and to bring us through this world. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that there isn't going to be troubles. In fact, I think we sense them even more because they do come. But boy, you see the Lord preparing her heart just for the harshness that's coming. And it's amazing when my daughter called me to tell me that Matthew had passed last Sunday morning. I was up, it was 5:30 when she called. And she said, you know, if you're getting a call this early in the morning from me, you know it isn't good. And it was hard, but here the Lord has me in John chapter 14. I was just reading because I was getting ready for the morning service, but not in John, but God had me go to John just to read it and just to send out a couple of scriptures to folks. But I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, and Lord, just thank you so much. He was preparing my heart for what was to come. But here I am, her dad, a pastor, and I was just so shaken. I didn't even pray with her. I had to call her back up later and pray with her. It's just like, where was I? Where am I? What am I doing? But just the harshness of the world, just to take away what God wanted to do and what God can do. And just so sweet and yet so harsh. And yet God is above the harshness. There's still joy there. There's still peace there because God is there. And Mary, just going through that, seeing the sweetness of Gabriel ministering to her, I mean, how awesome is that for an angel to come and talk to you? And not only talk to you, but then tell you, you're going to be the mom of the Messiah. Whoa, we've chosen you. The Lord has chosen you to carry this special baby. Oh, and the specialness that we get to carry now because God is in us. And we carry the specialness of Emmanuel with us, in us. We have that same privilege of carrying the Messiah with us wherever we go. Oh, Lord, thank you for that privilege, for that honor. And yet in the midst of it, the harshness. She comes home from visiting Mary. She sees Joseph. She sees her parents. and he wants to put her away. But he was such an honorable man that he didn't want to do it publicly. He could have had her stoned, because that was the result of being pregnant outside of marriage, was a stoning. And yet Joseph didn't want to do that. He wanted to put her away privately. You see, all that God orchestrated behind the scenes to have a man who would do that, who wouldn't have her stoned, because we know of many people, they want to stone their wives now. Where's the nearest brick? Let's stone her. You burnt my toast. Okay, that's it. You're out of the house, and I'm going to beat you on your way out. You know, we go through all those things, and yet God orchestrates behind the scenes all these things going on so that everything is in God's order. I can't fathom that. I can't put that much together in one place. You know, I try and think up things and get things prepared, and yet God is doing that all the time just to bring how many people groups just into that place. Look at what he did. We did it this morning, you know, to have Caesar Augustus decide that there needed to be a taxing just at that time for Mary to go with Joseph, for there to be no room anywhere in Bethlehem but a trough, but a manger. How do you fill up all those houses? How do you get that many people to move and to come to a place just at the right time? Only God can do that. And if he's going to do that with them, what is he going to do for you and I? And the people that we have around us, I just get so blessed because I get to be here, I get to teach, I get to do the thing that I love, and yet to have you people show up. I mean, God has to really move hearts to have you show up. I mean, we got to get serious about this. And here he is moving people all the way through just to encourage each other, just to be there at the right time, just to have the right scriptures, just to have the right message, to encourage hearts just at the right time. And yet only God can do that. We can't do that. We can't orchestrate that much. But to see the harshness of the world, but the sweetness of our God. And notice the difference, too, as you look, because you see the sweetness of Gabriel coming and ministering to her. He didn't scare her, so he had to come in a way that wouldn't frighten her to pieces. And then you see the harshness of the world, of the looks, of the shunning, of the pushing away, of the putting away, because this is what the world says love is supposed to look like. And God says, no, this is what love is supposed to look like. The difference that's there. And as you see the differences, you realize, Lord, I need more of your love and less of the world's love. And so many people are out in the world looking for love. They're out tonight looking for love. Sometimes it's in the form of presence, sometimes in the form of family, sometimes in the form of just being out with friends. And yet God says, I have a better love than that for you. I have a love that'll never end. I want to show you that rather than the world's love and how harsh the world can be. You know, and he comes to Joseph. Amazing. It says the angel of the Lord. This angel, we don't know his name. It's not Gabriel, evidently, because he mentions Gabriel by name before, but not this time. This could be Harry. It could be Agnes. I don't know what his name is, but he comes and he appears to Joseph in a dream. Joseph, don't be afraid. So we know if the Holy Spirit puts this in there, it's because Joseph was afraid. I'm afraid to take this woman. Can you imagine? He's going to face shunning from the town too. He's going to face the shunning of people groups that are all around because he's going to enter into this relationship, not only with her, but with his Lord. And they're going to do it together. But can you imagine how it strengthens their marriage that they're the only two like-minded right now? And that is so encouraging that God will do that with a marriage. It will do that with a family. It will strengthen them and it will encourage them to stand strong together, to be together in the midst. But don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to do what the world says doesn't look good. Don't be afraid to do what the world says it might not be right. It's probably not a good marriage. It's probably not a good time. It's probably not a good family. And yet the Lord says, this is the best you're going to have here. So enter into it now, just to come to Joseph. And you know what else it means? It means that Joseph was open to listening to what the Lord was going to say. That means you have to have your heart prepared for the messages that are going to come. We don't know when they're going to come. You don't know what scripture you're going to be reading when the Lord is going to speak to your heart. I remember I was doing a Bible study in Henrietta years ago, and there was not many people. I think there was four of us. And we're sitting there, and I was doing, I was going through Matthew, and I think it was on giving. In the guy's house that we were at, that I was teaching at, said, "Oh man, my sister's here, she's not saved." And he's teaching about giving. Oh, nothing's going to happen. She ended up asking him to pray with her so that she could receive Christ that night. It's just like, you know it's not my words. You know it's not about giving. It's about the Lord ministering to a heart in the midst. And when your heart is open to receive it, what the Lord can do to change you and to draw you even closer. He says to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary for your wife, and she's going to bring forth a son." Amazing. And it's amazing as you look down at verse 24 just to see the sweetness of God's presence and what he does in a life. Because remember, Joseph is about to put her away. But in verse 24 it says, "Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." First he hears it, and then he acts on what he heard. Right? And that's what we need to do too. When the word speaks to us, we need to act on the word. We need to do what the word says. He did what the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. Do something with that. Circle it, underline it, highlight it. But at first he didn't even want her, and now he says, "She's my wife." Not only did he convince his heart, but he ministered to him in such a way that he took it as gospel, he took it as truth, and he took it so well that he now proclaimed that this is what the Lord has done, and I'm going to accept what the Lord has done. Oh, and yet he was sweet with her. He knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. Oh. So back in Luke now, if you would, Luke chapter 2. As we move on a little bit, just to see the sweetness in the harshness of the things of the Spirit, the things of the world. Look at chapter 2 here and move down a little bit in it to verse 25. And it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus," so they're coming in to do circumcision, "to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now let us, your servant, depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Joseph and Mary are sitting there, and they're listening to this, and it's just blowing their minds. First, she gets the angel Gabriel to come to her. Now they go into the temple to do the custom of the law. And he just, this priest is just jumping up and down, and he's rejoicing. He got Pentecostal on him. And he's just jumping up and down and just realizing, "Lord, I can die now." Because remember, the Lord said, "You can't die till you see the Messiah." He goes, "How long? How long, O Lord?" And all of a sudden, right in front of him, he just happens to be there. And what are the odds of him being there instead of another priest? With God, we know what the odds are. Perfect. With the world, those odds aren't good. But God orchestrates again to bring him there so that he can see, so that Joseph and Mary can listen to him and hear what he has to say, because they realize it's just another message from the Lord for them to be encouraged in their walk with him. "I'm going to do a work in your life, and I want you to know me in it." Things are happening all around us, and the Lord is orchestrating and moving us and changing us just to get to that place so that we can see him. And if we don't listen to him, if we don't follow him, then we miss another opportunity just to see the Lord work. just to see the Lord's grace and mercy in our lives. And Simeon's jumping up and down, and he says, oh, this is wonderful. And it says in verse 34 that Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. Notice he doesn't say it to Joseph, because it's not his child. It's the Holy Spirit in Mary. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. Doesn't say anything about Joseph being the father. The world wants it to. But the Lord knows better. The Holy Spirit knows how to write his scriptures. Says to Mary's mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many again in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And so he says that this child has got so much going on. So many things are going to happen because of him and with him and for him. And he's just rejoicing in the midst of it. So the sweetness of it, as she realizes this truly is the Messiah. This is just another confirmation for Mary, for Joseph, of what's happening, of what's going on. And doesn't the Lord do that with you and I? As he speaks to us, as he ministers to us, he confirms the word to our hearts. He tells us he's never going to leave us or forsake us. And we enter into times where we feel like, God, you've left me. I don't know what to do. I'm shaken in my faith. And he says, I'll be with you in the midst. And he confirms his promises to us. And that's just so sweet. But then we hit verse 35. And yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. The harshness of what the world is going to do. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. But notice the order again. That he brings the sweetness of his presence. He brings the confirmation of his word to her. And prepares her for the next statement, which is going to pierce through her heart. It's going to be a hard time, Mary. You need to be prepared. You need to be ready. Because what you're going to see, what you're going to have happen, can hurt. And unless you let me help you and prepare you for it, you aren't going to carry on. You're going to give up. My daughter, the other day, I was telling the folks this morning, just said, first I lose my grandson, and now I lose my son. Because our great-grandson died before he turned 3. And we buried him in 2016. And now his dad is going to be there. And she said, I don't know how much more I can take. But I know because of God's presence and God speaking to me in the midst that he was already preparing things. That he was getting things ready. And just encouraging and strengthening and wanting the family to know his presence in the midst. And that is just so sweet of the Lord to do. And the order is so wonderful. He prepares first, and then he shows the harshness that's to come. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to be able to go through this with the Lord's help, with the Lord's presence, and by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. There's no other way we can get through this world and do it well, except by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's what we need to have. And if we don't have his Spirit working in us, if we're not listening, if we're not paying attention, if we're not attentive, then we're going to miss so much of that preparation that God has for us. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word every day and to be in prayer every day and just to be open and available for God to speak to us at any time. And none of us like getting woken up at 3 in the morning and God says, you want to get up and pray? Well, actually, no. God, you already know my heart, so I might as well tell you, no. It says, but boy, if I got something special for you, because I'm going to have this wonderful time with you. But be prepared, because harshness is coming. And if we don't do it, then oh, are we going to miss? And then the harshness is going to slap us. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to shake us. And we're not going to be ready for it. It's so important for us to be in the Word. So let's go back to Matthew again. I hate to keep flip-flopping on you, but this is how the Lord gave it to me. So Matthew chapter 2, if you would, again. And the wise men come now. So in verses 13 and on, the wise men come just for time's sake. The wise men come, they minister. And remember, this is not at the manger scene. It kind of blows all the Christmas cards out of the water and puts things in a bad light for them because they have him coming at the manger scene. It was just the shepherds and the angels that were there. The wise men didn't come till he was almost 2 years old, probably. Because if you look at verse 11 of chapter 2, it says that when they were come into the house, they were in a home. They weren't in the manger anymore. They were in the home. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. They went another way, not a planned way, but God's way. Because again, he had something planned for them too. Herod, remember, wanted to know where this child was because he was jealous, he was envious. He had already killed some of his own family because he thought that they were a threat to his throne. He had killed one of his own sons, a couple of his sons. He killed a couple of his wives because they were threats to him. And being warned of God, the wise men, and they truly were wise because they were listening to God. That's real wisdom, is listening to God, that they shouldn't go back to Herod, but go another way. Go another way. Go, even if it's longer, even if it takes longer to get there, it's the way that I need you to go. And sometimes we wonder why God takes us in the ways that he does, because it took so long, Lord. He said, but if I did it fast, if I did it the way that you wanted, you would have never seen what I had for you to show you. And so they departed another way. So the sweetness that's here, Mary confirmed again that this is the Messiah, that this is the one that God has told you about, Mary. These men come. We don't know if there's three. It never says in Scripture that there was three. The world has them named. He has the color of their skin. He has everything. They have everything put out in place. And yet God never mentions that there was just three. It could have been 100. We don't know, but they've come. And because of the three gifts that were given, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, we put on them that there was only three of them. But they come and they fall down and they worship before this two-year-old baby. I haven't seen too many two-year-olds, because remember, the world says the terrible twos are here. I don't know how many people come down and fall down and worship before two-year-olds, but these men did because they were wise. They knew with this one who he was, and they departed to go another way. So the sweetness of this, another confirmation for Mary that, Mary, you're doing the right thing. You're going the right way. But when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Just to fulfill prophecy, he sends Jesus and Joseph and Mary to Egypt. But in the middle of the night, he comes in a dream again. What does Scripture say? Young men will dream dreams. And here he is. But the sweetness, they just got visited by the wise men. Confirmed in their faith, confirmed that, yes, you're doing the right thing, you're going the right direction, yes, this is the Messiah, yes, he is coming to save his people from their sin. Confirmed again, encouraged again, elated, I'm sure, as all this stuff is just laid before them. And then the angel comes and says, you have to get out of Dodge. It's time to go. It's time to run. In the middle of the night. Isn't it the harshness of the night that brings the worst things to us sometimes? It seems like it's just amazing. We have to run in places that we can't see, that we don't know how to get there. And it's just awful sometimes, the things that come at night, the bad news that comes, all those things. It just seems to happen at night in the darkness of times. Darkness of times as well as darkness of spirit. And yet he confirmed to them beforehand, this is what's going to go on. So be encouraged and be prepared. And then the harshness comes. But why didn't the angel say before, by the way, when these guys come to see you, you're going to have to run afterwards, so get ready. At least they'd be prepared. But that's the instant time that we need to be before the Lord, with the Lord's heart, not in victory, but in preparation that the battle is still on. There's still a battle out there, and the battle's raging, and the world wants to destroy us. Joseph has to get up, but faithful to the Lord, faithful to what he says, and he takes Mom and Jesus and goes to Egypt. And Egypt in Scripture represents the world. He says, you want me to take the Messiah into the world? Lord, not that you would ever do it, but I would do it. Lord, you really want me to go to Egypt? What's in Egypt? Come on. It's the world. I don't want to be there. And yet that's where he tells them to go, to fulfill prophecy and just to minister to their hearts and show them that I'll be faithful to you as much in the world as you are in the promised land. Just because you're in the world doesn't mean you have to be of the world. And I can minister to you in that place, even if it's not Israel. I can minister to you in Macedon. Really? There's nothing good in Macedon. Oh, yeah, there's a church there. Yeah. I can do those things. No matter where you are, I can minister to you. And oh, that's so sweet, but the harshness of it, because they had to leave at night. There she is back up on a donkey again, this time carrying the baby. But boy, Lord, how many times are you going to move me? As many times as it takes for you to realize that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and I'll carry you everywhere you go. I'll protect you. Who protected them on the way? Because remember, there's robbers and looters and bandits all the way along. And they're going into the world, a place they haven't been to before. I'll be with you, even if you go to a new place, to a new job, to a new home, to a new life. I can be there with you. Let me lead you and let me guide you and let me direct you there. So take this child, flee into Egypt. Just don't walk. Don't take a leisurely time and take a vacation on the way. Get out of Dodge and get going quickly. And he takes them at night. And the message he brings is they want to destroy the baby. And can you imagine Mary and Joseph as they hear the accounts, as Herod sends his soldiers to kill all the young babies 2 years old and under, of all the hurt and the pain that was around them, and yet God took care of them. Lord, why are you taking care of us and not them? Because I have a different plan for them. I have a different way that I'm going to deal with them. And it may hurt, but I'm going to get them through just as much as I'm going to get you to a new place. I can take care of all of them if they let me. And we think, well, Lord, everything's going to be fine and wonderful as long as I'm saved and walking with you. And he says, no, sometimes it's going to hurt. And sometimes there's going to be harshness of the world around you. But I can bring you through if you let me. And again, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. I'll be with you. I'm going to take you. I'll walk with you. I know what it is to hurt. I lost my only son. And I'm the only one that can really bring comfort to you. And you know, the sweetness of the comfort that God gives is so overwhelming and so far above the comfort that the world brings to us. Because they write sympathy cards, they say, I'm sorry, and they can do nothing to heal the hurt of the crushing that's inside of you. Only God can do that. But isn't it sad the world leans on everybody else and won't turn to Jesus when he's the only one that has that comfort? Oh, and we need that so much. Pray for me for Thursday when I do the funeral, because a lot of Matthew's friends are not saved, don't want anything to do with anything. That their life is a party, they need Jesus, and they have no comfort right now. But isn't it sad? Because I went through that. Just a quart of vodka a day straight, just to numb the pain. But the trouble is you wake up in the morning, and not only do you still have the pain, but now you got a headache besides. And you just keep adding to it, and it just keeps getting worse and worse until Jesus comes in and brings relief and brings comfort and hope. And that's what he wants to do. He does that with Mary and Joseph. He wants to do that with you and I. So the wise men come. They have to flee home. They have to go a different way. Mary and Joseph have to go to Egypt. We see them come back in still in Matthew chapter 2. They see them come back And it says, then Herod in verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there shall be a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weepeth for her children, it would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So here comes that angel again. He must be getting used to him by now. Hope it was the same one. It was, get to know him on a first name basis here. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. So here we go again. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Nazarene, it wasn't a nice place. It wasn't a well-renowned place. They despised the people of Nazareth, but Jesus wasn't afraid to be despised. And for us, one of the hardest things for us is that we're not liked by people. We want to be liked by people. We want all the little kids to run up to us and say, oh, you're so wonderful. We want all the adults to come up to us and say, oh, you are just so good. And they don't do it. And we get offended. We get hurt. We feel rejected. But we just enter into the sufferings of Christ, the same things that he went through. He has us enter into so that we can know his heart in the midst on how to get through it. And we need to know how to get through it because we don't know. And that's one of the things about death that is just so overwhelming to me at times, is because you never see God prepare Adam and Eve to know how to deal with death, because they were never supposed to die. And so for you and I, death is real hard. And the world doesn't know how to prepare for it. The world doesn't know how to go through it. That's why we need to have the one who went through it and rose again to know how to get through it the right way. Because only God can raise from the dead. The world can't revive them. The world can't bring them back. But God can raise them from the dead. We need to know the way. And it's only through him. So they come to Nazarene. And he's called a Nazarene. And he works all these things to be, to fulfill prophecy and to get things in order the way that he wants them. It's just amazing, God's orchestration, because we see there's over 300 prophecies of Jesus' first coming, and he fulfilled every single one of them. Can you imagine? Thousands of years of writings, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them within the 30 years that he was here on the earth. How do you do that? Only by God. That's another reason we trust him. Because if he can do that, what can he do with you? How can he help you? How can he heal you? How can he minister to you and get you in the right place and do the right things? Only by his Spirit. And so we trust him. One more place. John, if you would. John chapter 19. Hard scriptures, but we just see God working again in this place. John chapter 19. We're at the place of the crucifixion, this hard place, but hard for the people around him. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the cross. It didn't bother him. There was joy set before him, and he was going to endure those things that were coming because there was joy that was set before him. And for me, for you and I, there's joy that's set before us because God is before us, and heaven is before us, and that joy is going to bring us to a place where we're able to go through the hardest of things. This is probably the harshest of things to have happen to a person. And yet, God himself had gotten to a place where he was going to be able to go through it with complete joy in the midst. And that's where he wants to take you and I. But sometimes we have to go through the hard things to realize the joy that's there. Because joy isn't dependent on our circumstances. Joy is a condition of our heart that God brings to us. We have his joy. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. but joy is in spite of our circumstances. It says in verse 16 of chapter 19, then delivered he him therefore to, unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus away and led him away. Isn't it strange that the world wants to lead Jesus, and Jesus tells us he wants to lead us. He's our shepherd. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place that is called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And when they had crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Amazing that they would take that much time to write it in all three languages so that everybody would know. This is God. Hello. The world is proclaiming who this is, and they don't even know it. God, you're so cool. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. Get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but let us cast lots for it. Who shall it be, that the scripture might be fulfilled? Again, God working. He has a robe on Jesus that isn't in sections sewed together. Really. And if he takes that much care for a piece of clothing to be a witness, again, what can he do with you and I? Oh, Lord, thank you. Just help us to be available. Let's not rend it, but let's cast lot for it. The gambling of his clothes, that it might be fulfilled. They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did, not knowing what they were doing, that they were fulfilling prophecy. You know that God can work the world to do his bidding without them even knowing that they're doing his bidding? Ah, wouldn't it be better if we knew what we were doing, rather than just being led to do something and not knowing the God behind it? Oh, it's just so, aren't you glad you're saved? God, now I know what I'm doing. I'm doing it for you. That's why he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because what you're doing may be fulfilling prophecy. What you're doing is being faithful to the God that's called you. Mm. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Remember, all during her life, the angels have spoken to her. They've ministered to her through her husband, through others, through Jesus. She's now at the end of his life, not the end of her life, but the end of his life. She's evidently lost Joseph. We haven't read about him in a while. The hurt that was there, the pain that was there, and yet God had brought her through and taken care of her. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he saith to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Amazing, as she goes through this hurt, the hurt of a mom losing her child. Just so heartrending. And he hasn't seen her for a bit. He's seen her here and there, but in the last 3 years, he's been all over the country. Sometimes she's followed him, sometimes she hasn't. But he looks up in one of the final moments of his life and says, Mom, I'm going to take care of you. Even in my death, I'm going to take care of you, Mom. I'm thinking about you. That is just too much. That's a heart that I want to have that I don't have. I need that heart. I want that heart, but I'm not going to find it at Wegmans. You can't buy it on a shelf. Amazon doesn't even deliver it. I don't care how many Prime trucks are out there. They aren't going to deliver that. Only God can bring it. That's why we don't look to the world for spiritual things. We look to God for spiritual things, because it's only he that can bring those things. Mom, behold your son. I'm going to take care of you, even in his death. Just to show her, I'm still with you. I'm still going to take care of you. I'm still going to be the one who ministers to you. And he looks at John. And remember, all the other disciples have gone. John is there. Gee, wonder why. Maybe because God moved him to be there so that he could do this for his mom. Oh, he's ministering to John's heart. He's ministering to Mary's heart. He's ministering to the thief on the cross next to him to show him, this is what I can do. Ministering to the centurion who's going to say, truly, this was the Son of God. How many people is he ministering to just by speaking a word? Oh, amazing what his words can do. Woman, behold your son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, he took her. Why? I don't need another mouth in the house. I don't need another mother-in-law in the house. Come on, I got enough going on. I'm never home anymore. I'm out busy on all these things. He takes her to his house because God said so. Oh, what is he going to tell you and I? This is what I have for you. Will you do it? Will you be faithful in the small things? Will you be faithful to raise my kids? Will you be faithful to take care of the elderly? Do you see what our world is doing to the elderly? Well, let's see. You're over 60, so you're old. I'm really aged. Older than dirt here. We euthanize them. We get rid of them. You're not useful anymore. You can't produce anymore. You're not helping the society. You're not paying enough taxes. We need more. So we got to get rid of you so we can have better quality of people. Aren't you glad God cares for the old people? I'm really glad. And I'm glad I've got a hope, because once I leave this, I'm home. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Rapture could happen. We were listening to Joe Foch before we came, and he said, it was weird. I came in this morning because they had breakfast for folks this morning before the service. And he said, I come in at 8 o'clock, and I come into the sanctuary, and he says, there's nobody here. And he says, I knew it couldn't be the rapture because I was still here. We did that once when I was an assistant pastor at another church. We were outside the secretary's office, and I brought an extra set of clothing to church one day. And I put my sneaks down, my socks, pants, shirt, just laid them in a pile outside her office. And she comes out and she starts screaming. I thought it was funny at the moment, but probably ruined her heart. But isn't this sweet? He brings the sweetness because there's going to be harshness. There's enough harshness. We need the sweetness of Jesus. And you and I are going to be the lights that are going to bring some of that sweetness to folks. And just pray that we aren't the ones that bring the harshness, that we aren't part of that, that we would be the ones that would just bring the sweetness of Jesus to people, especially in this season. We're going to meet with families. We're going to be with those that are unsaved. We're going to be with those that are saved. May we bring the sweetness of God's presence with us. So, Lord, we need your heart, Father. Just thank you for showing us these things. Thank you for Scripture that just brings us to these places where we see the difference between your people and the people of the world. The people of the world wanted to lead you away and crucify you. And Lord, we're here because we want to exalt you. We're here because you're precious. You're wonderful. And we just want to be in your presence, Lord. We want to be your faithful people. We want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us in that, because we know it's nothing inside of us that can do that. It's only your Holy Spirit that can do it for us. So help us with that, Lord. And we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this day that's here, Lord. We celebrate. Father, we know it's probably not even the right day, but Lord, we get a day to celebrate. And Lord, may it be every day. Like Paul said, some worship on Monday, some worship on Sunday. I worship every day. And Lord, help us to be those people that can celebrate every day your birth, your death, your resurrection, because it means so much to us. It's who we are. It identifies us, Lord, as being your disciples. So help us to be faithful in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.